time for Message in the Bottle. Brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company at 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan jumping around to join us today. Hello, Eric.
Yes, hello, my favorite radio audience. Not that I have any other one.
I was going to say.
Y'all are my favorite.
Okay, all right.
And therefore, you should vote for me.
Yeah, well, by the way, Kerry says he was a bit offended that you seemed to assume that he would be voting for Tim.
Tim is a really sweet guy. I'm not. I naturally assume that a nice guy like Kerry is like, yeah, man, I mean, Tim, he's awesome. Like, he is. Tim was a customer of mine. When I bought the store back in 2009, Tim was a customer, a local guy, and he's gone on to make nice beer,
if you
will.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
But I'm a fan of his product and of him, so I think it's a fantastic matchup, and I'm certain that his inner light will shine and he will carry the day, but I'm going to do everything nefarious to change that.
Well, you had a very deep run last year, as I recall.
Well, I mean, sometimes things work, sometimes things don't. But you know, I'm up against these charming personalities, and so I've got to work on burnishing my own. but that's okay. That's okay. I hope everybody is well out there. Honestly, it's certainly a heavy time, it feels like, for a lot of us. So I hope that whoever you end up voting for, that listening to Downtown is giving you some respite from all the craziness outside this. And frankly, I didn't want Russell Wilson. I want sauce. My new dreams are of Sauce. Anybody who doesn't know who Sauce is, go look up your local top 10 draft, mock drafts. You're going to see a guy nicknamed Sauce, and I want him. And he's a Bearcat. He's a Cincinnati Bear. I love him. Oh, my glory. So we're here talking about wine. We were talking about what happens to the wine after the juice is pressed. We talked last week about fining and filtering, adding sulfur dioxide or not, and what that means. And so now is the time that I like to talk about, and this it just increasingly is coming up, is the idea of the package that you're putting the wine into after you make it. I mean, it's really, really nice to have these gigantic oak foudres or gigantic steel tanks full of fermented juice, but what do you do with them after that? And of course, bottles have been, you know, to anybody who's currently, you know, breathing, de rigueur, right? Like, we've never really known anything different. But of course, that historically wasn't the case. I mean, just as a reminder, first produced glass made around 3000 BC in northern Syria. But it wasn't until the Romans invented glass blowing that bottles were produced. And, of course, I like to remind people, where Romans go, wine quickly follows. And I'm sure there was other things that they were interested in putting in those bottles that they first invented. I'm sure of it. Water. Water's nice, but I'll bet wine factored pretty heavily into it, because of course the other way that people were shipping and delivering wine was in pretty much standardized, well, not standardized size, but ceramic amphora. Now, that has its own odd benefits that we'll talk about probably later in the year when we start talking about classic winemaking in, sadly, parts of the world that are right now under great strife, but traditional use of amphora in fermentation and winemaking. But of course, then they were further used for just transportation, and then you'd just take a ladle or something out of that. So it was, you know, the invention of a smaller way to store your stuff, to paraphrase the late, great George Carlin, that sort of invented the modern wine culture that we you kind of even know today. But of course, glass being delicate, it didn't really catch on in the way that it is now with a much, you know, different, we'll talk about this in 1 second, style of glass. Back then, it was still pretty much ceramic amphora that it was shipped in over long distances because the ceramics were just simply stronger. So what allowed the move sort of more permanently to bottles just in general for a lot of different uses for vessels was coal-burning furnaces that arrived in the 17th century. And that allowed for hotter temperatures, and hotter temperatures allows for thicker glass, and thicker glass allows for a more durable end result. And so not only did you have that, but conveniently, at the same time in the Iberian Peninsula, predominantly in Portugal, where this is still, I believe it's upwards of 60% of the world's cork is produced, the use of cork as the preferred method of closure was really catching on. So you had not only a suitable way of closing up the liquid, and we'll talk about that in 1 second, why cork can do that, but also you had, because you have to put the cork under pressure, as anybody who's ever popped a champagne bottle or anything knows sometimes, or even just a regular bottle, you're putting the cork under pressure, the bottle has to be able to withstand that pressure, otherwise you end up with a big mess and shards of glass everywhere. And that still happens to this day, unfortunately. There are bottle flaws when things are made, just like there are flaws in anything else made. At this time, it's not artisanally. I mean, all bottles are made industrially, and, you know, things happen. So there's certainly, you know, even just the other day, we found a long crack in a bottle of wine that's been around since 2006. And it's just, it's within the bottle itself. There's like this long flaw, but it's stable, so we're kind of leaving it alone. So we talked about the 17th century. The 1700s, you started to see wine starting to be aged. And so that is when you start to see wine being aged on its side and with a cork. So what's cork? Let's talk really quick about this. I usually hit this later, but I think it's kind of a good one now. Why cork can stop liquid is it's made of suberin. Suberin is what we call a hydrophobic substance, which means it repels liquid. And so it's found in the bark of a oak called the cork oak or the Quercus suber. Again, most of which are found in and around the Mediterranean basin, with at least over 50% being found in Portugal itself and in one particular sector of Portugal. So that is why both the elasticity and the liquid repellent nature of this stuff allowed for it to be a thing. So you could tip the wine on the side, let it age, and know that it wasn't going to leak out of your bottle, which is a bonus, one would think. And then the other thing is that, and maybe some people have seen this, they used to favor short, round bottles, and you still see some of these in the Pfalz region of Germany, where you see some Rieslings and Silvaners and things produced. There are these sort of squat, I don't know. They look like UFOs with a neck. They started to lose favor in terms of what we have now, which are the longer flat-sided ones, both what we know as the Bordeaux style, which is the long flat one, and then the Burgundy style, which is the one that has more the sloped shoulder. And of course there's a lot of varieties to that. For instance, Argentina favors this sort of oddly reverse slope shouldered Bordeaux style thing. A lot of California winemakers, to prove that they've got very large members in their wine club, have just magnificently large, heavy bottles, which are still 750 milliliters, but your mind sort of baffles at the amount of glass actually used in the production per bottle. It seems rather silly, especially as when we'll talk about this next segment, we're trying to reduce gas costs and reduce supply costs. So I think those things are going to start to go the way of the dodo in favor of lighter bottles and boxes, etc. But we'll talk about that another time. I assume I'm basically out of time.
Just under a minute. Yep.
Okay, very good. I will just use this time. This is obviously a tricky subject, but I wanted to say, as our children are now having their masks be optional in school, and as we are starting to see more and more people just doffing their masks, we are going back to masks recommended at Bangor Wine and Cheese. We are going to continue to wear ours around you for a variety of reasons, including the fact that both Morgan and I have children who are about to be maskless in front of hundreds of other germ-wielding kids who have not had even a cold for 2 years. So I'm thinking you probably want us masked because I don't know what we're coming home to.
Mm-hmm.
But we're respectful of the fact that at this point, hopefully the CDC is right. We can start to do what we all hoped we would eventually be able to do, which is lose the masks. So if you feel comfortable not wearing one, that's fine. Please respect us and understand that we're going to keep doing that. But just to let everybody know, you know, we're trying to be hip to the world that we live in, such as it is on any given day. So there you go.
And we appreciate that. Thank you, Eric.
All righty. Cheers to you.
All right. We'll see you next week. Eric Meehan, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company. With Message in the Bottle every Tuesday afternoon.